Sometimes you got to do whatever it takes, don't you, to get to where God is. You got to be willing to put forth the effort. You know what? If you get desperate enough, He'll meet you. How many believes that tonight? I appreciate the Lord. I want to say thank God for this revival. Thank you here at the church at Bethel Chapel for all you've done for us this week. We can't even begin to list everything, talk about everything. You start doing that, you leave people out. But it's all been great. I won't say that. Everything's been wonderful. Your hospitality, how you've welcomed us in. And you know what? It's easy to be good back to good people. How many knows that? And you all have been good to us, so it's been easy for us to love you all, get to know you this week. And I appreciate good fellowship, don't you? Appreciate good spirit, kindred spirits you feel when you're around the people of God. That's what matters. You know, there's no better people than the people of God. How many believes that? No better people. I've met some of the best people in the world in 4 or 5 years of ministry here across this country. I mean, you think you've met the best people ever was, then you run into more good people. That's how it works. And you make a lot of long-lasting friendships you never forget. And appreciate y'all, all you've done for these children here. We've just had a great time. The Lord's been good. And I felt a good spirit here this morning. I hope some folks got help in this altar. I want to say appreciate Sister Angela. She cooked a big dinner. That lady can cook, Brother Brim. That must be that Texas coming out of these girls. They cooked some good meals, had us over to their house this week. Appreciate that family having us over. Angela, what is it? Alicia, I'm sorry. Too many names to keep up with. One of them names. She didn't know. We didn't know who was going to answer to that, reply to that. But I appreciate you having us over today. Appreciate everybody that's brought food and took us out to eat and just spent time with us, fellowship. It's been a great time. I want to say appreciate your pastor and his wife and all they do. And don't you got a good pastor and pastor's wife here? I believe you ought to give them a hand here tonight. They're good people, wonderful people. And I'll tell you what, you can tell they got a burden for the people. And you know what I told Sister Erica? Sister Ruth's always so upbeat. I mean, she got enough energy for both of you, Brother Brim. She's bouncing off the walls all the time. I appreciate that enthusiasm that she shares around God's people. Appreciate them. Everything. Thanks for having us. She could have had any evangelists this week. We're well aware of that, but thank you for the door of opportunity that's been open for us. If you got your Bible, Acts chapter 16 tonight. We'll try not to keep you too long. I do got to make a long journey home tonight. And 64 should be pretty clear. I'm sure it will be. And the wife will be sleeping by the time we pull out of the parking lot. And the babies will too. And it'll just be me and the highway. So you all pray for us on the road home tonight. Pray I can stay awake. I drive a lot better at night than I do in the mornings. So I'm going to give it a chance tonight. Acts chapter 16. Verse number 25, 16, verse number 25, the Bible said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I wish you'd raise your hands here tonight, if you would, and pray for the Holy Ghost to come by and anoint me. Give me strength to preach. Give me the voice to preach here tonight. Lord, would you come by? Help us in a mighty way, Lord. We need your anointing. Lord, would you come by? Help us to know, Lord, that you do still answer prayer, Lord. You're still an on-time God, Lord. You're still listening to the cries of your people. We thank you for this revival, what you've done, what's been accomplished, Lord. We pray that you send it out on a high note tonight, Lord. Move in somebody's life, God, that still ain't got the victory, God. Move for somebody that's still bound by the enemy here tonight, God. Would you move? Perform miracles in the name of Jesus Christ in this altar service. We give you the praise and the glory. Amen and amen. If I can tonight, I want to preach to you very simply on do it for somebody else, if the Lord will help us here tonight. Do it for somebody else. You know, friend, I look at this passage of Scripture. I look at this story and I begin to survey the situation that these two men, Paul and Silas, found themselves in. You know, really, they did nothing wrong. They were being persecuted for no legitimate reason. All they'd done was cast that spirit of divination out of that damsel lady. And you know what, friend? It was all for the gospel's sake. Paul was doing what he'd been doing ever since the Lord called him on the Damascus Road and told him, he said, you're going to suffer many things for the gospel's sake. But Paul had the attitude, he said, what would you have me to do, Lord? He knew what he would face. He knew it'd be a lot of hardship and trial. But you know, friend, sometimes Paul didn't know what was going to blindside him, if you will. What kind of surprise attack the devil was going to make on him. But you know, here, friend, the Bible said that they took these men and they held them captive and bound, and they stripped their body from head to toe. And the Bible said the Jewish law was 40 stripes save one. No doubt, friend, they were a bloody mess. They were battered, they were beaten, they were bruised. And you know what? They probably looked over at one another in the midst of this beating and this cruelty, and they probably said, oh, will we ever make it through this one? There's no way we'll pull through this one alive. And Silas probably looked at Paul and said, what have you got me into this time, Paul? I've preached with you. I've been good company in the gospel for you. But Paul, this time, it's about over with. We're lucky if we don't die this time, Paul. You know, their hands are cuffed, their feet are put in stocks, and they're cast into that inner prison, the Philippian jail. You know what, friend? If you could picture that jail, it wouldn't be like the penitentiaries are today. It wouldn't be like a place where three meals are catered to them at a certain time of day. They probably wouldn't get to get out and lift weights or play sports or work a job. But you know what, friend? This was a jail in its worst sense. Do you hear me? This was a dark dungeon of a prison. Hell, no doubt the rats were running across the floor. No doubt there was barely any light shining down through the darkness of this Philippian jail. You know what? The darkness probably made these men feel like they were on the edge of insanity, if you will. But you know what, friend? I can imagine as Paul and Silas are in that jail, and they can hear the moans and the groans. They can hear the cries of everybody in all those cells. And all people are doing are wishing they could get out, but there's no way out. Come on now. They wish they could find freedom, but there is no freedom, friend. But you know what Paul and Silas determined here, friend? Although they were locked in a jail, although they were imprisoned physically, friend, they proved to you and I that the outward conditions of a child of God does not determine how we can rejoice on the inside in our soul. Oh, hallelujah. You know what, friend? Paul probably looked at Silas and said, Silas, it could be a whole lot worse. Not only could we be in stocks and bonds and beat to a bloody pulp, but we could be dead right now. We could be 6 feet under right now. You know what he said? Silas, I know it's a dark time. I know it looks like there's no way out of this one. But you know what? I believe on the inside, we've still got something to shout about. On the inside, we've still got something to glorify God about. You know what, Silas? I look around and I listen and I hear the cries of all these prisoners that are lost and undone without God. I hear the cries of these men. They have no future to look forward to. If they die in this jail, they've got nothing to look forward to. But Silas, you and I are born again. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. And you know what? The devil may trap us up. The devil may imprison us. The devil may take us off the streets from doing the work of God. But we can still do something in this prison that can make a difference in the lives of those around us. Oh, hallelujah. You know what he was saying? I know you don't feel like praising God right now, Silas, but now's when we need to praise him more than ever. I know you don't got a song on your heart. Have you ever been that place? You're just so discouraged, you really don't have a song to sing. You really don't have a song to offer up. But you know what, young man, or young lady, or older person here tonight, when you don't feel like putting up an effort, when you don't feel like lifting up your voice and singing a song, might be when somebody around you needs to hear you sing. Do you hear me? Oh yes. When you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like bombarding heaven, that might be when somebody sitting beside you or somebody sitting on a pew back behind you needs to hear you glorify God. Hallelujah. You know what Paul realized? It ain't for our benefit, Silas. It ain't for our advantage. This ain't to make us look good. We're not looking just to get set free from this prison. Look at what a position God has put us in. Look at what a situation he can use. The devil's plan was to lock us up and to stop the work of God. But if we'll press forward, Silas, we can do the work of God right here in this jail cell, right here in the prison. God can shake his place, and he can save souls on top of souls, and he can turn his Philippian jail upside down. We can have a revival in the jailhouse here tonight, Silas. That's what he was saying, friend. You know what Paul realized? In the midst of the darkness, friend, of the prison, nothing could separate him from the love of God. Nothing could separate him from the moving of God's Spirit. You know what Paul said in Romans 8 and 35? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Can somebody say hallelujah here tonight? Oh yeah. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on now. Listen. I know I'm beaten. I know I'm bloody. I know it don't look like I got nothing to live for. But the Lord's still on the throne, Silas. The Lord still sits high and he still looks low. And nothing can steal. Oh, yes. You know, I often wonder what song was it they sung. You know what they might have been singing? Oh, yes. What's that song say? The devil may fight and the winds may blow, but you can't take away the peace of my soul. Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Could that have been what Paul said? Hey, listen, we don't got nothing it don't look like, but Jesus Christ is still alive and well in our hearts. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to let everybody in this prison house know how big our God is, how great, how mighty, how powerful he is. Hallelujah. Could somebody say glory to God here tonight? You know what they said? Hey, we don't got to just do it for ourselves. But we got to do it for somebody else. Somebody else needs to see the demonstration of the power and the glory of God. Listen, lift up your voice, Silas. Somebody is going to get a blessing if we'll buckle down and get God to move. Oh, yes. You know what? I was down in Parris Island, South Carolina, here about a year ago. I had a cousin graduating from Marine boot camp. And there on them grounds that day, as I was sitting through that ceremony, I was walking around checking that campus out at boot camp. And I looked at a sign there. And it said, the noise you hear is the sound of freedom. You know what? I begin to think of all the great things, the great battles that have been won by the United States military. I begin to think of the freedom that you and I have as American people. We can lay down at night and go to sleep. We don't have to worry about terroristic attacks on our soul. Listen now, we can let our kids go out and play in the yard. We can let them go to the local park, and we don't have to worry, about a band of militia from a foreign country gunning our children down. You know what, friend? We can still come to the house of God, can't we? And we can still worship, and we still got liberty to say the name of Jesus Christ in the church house. Listen, a lot of people's having to go underground to have church. A lot of people's having to have a Bible smuggled to them in these foreign countries to be able to glorify God. But we have got the liberty. We've got the right, the freedom of religion to come into the house of God and enjoy, friend, the freedom, Brother Mike. Night after night this week, we have had the privilege to come without any resistance and lift hands to a holy God. That's amazing that we still got that in this country. But I said all that to say this. I begin to dwell on them words. The noise you hear is the sound of freedom. And I asked one of the men there, one of the lieutenants, I said, where did that slogan come from? I said, that stuck out to me when I came here on these grounds. He said, well, you know what? All the people in these communities here, all nearby this Parris Island base, they all begin to grumble and complain about the noise that took place on this base. They didn't want to hear the soldiers up at 4
4 or 5 in the morning doing their chants, doing their PT training. They didn't want to hear all that. They didn't want to hear the fighter jets that would leave this base and go in and out practicing for warfare. You know what they did? They begin to complain. They begin to grumble. Move that base to somewhere else. Oh, it's disturbing our peace. We don't want to hear all that racket going on out there on that base. But you know what they did? They said, we formed a committee and we told them people, if it wasn't for this base, if it wasn't for these soldiers out here, you wouldn't have the freedom that you have in your everyday life to go where you wanted, to do as you please. If it wasn't for this noise out here, you wouldn't have the privilege to be a citizen of the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. He said, you know what we said? We're just going to put it on the sign for them. The noise you hear, don't get disturbed by it. It's still the noise that represents your freedom as the United States of America. Oh, you can I tell you something here tonight? People says, why in the midst of sickness can you still shout? Why in the midst of discouragement and battles can you still say hallelujah, glory to God? Why in the world can Brother Brandon Blue, that was out of a job a few days ago, take off and jump off the pulpit and run around the house rejoicing? I'll tell you what it is. The outward conditions that you and I face does not determine the freedom that we enjoy on the inside of our soul. I don't know about you, friend. I've still been bought with a price. I've still been set free here tonight. Come on now. How many still knows we got freedom here tonight? We ought to let freedom ring in this house tonight. What was Paul and Silas saying? This noise is the sound of freedom ringing out of the hearts of those afflicted, of those struggling, of those suffering. We're still free, friend, to get a hold of God, and He will intervene in our lives. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Come on now. Yes, freedom, friend. Paul and Silas looked around and said, you know what? If we shut up now, these men will never know about our Lord. These men will never know the true definition of the gospel message. You know what, Silas? If we lay down now and die in this Philippian jail, those around us are going to perish. But you know what, friend? I found out just as Paul and Silas did. When they began to pray and sing praises unto God at midnight, the Bible said there came a great earthquake and the ground shook. The prison doors swung open. The chains fell from every man. I found out, friend, when the going gets the toughest and when the odds are stacked against you and I, that's when God wants to pour out His greatest blessing. Come on now. Oh yes, when you're in the midst of a sickness, friend, when you're in the midst of a mental battle, when you're in the midst of a church problem, if you will, listen, that's when the devil says, I've got them bound. I've locked them away. They're in prison. They've got nothing to offer. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's just a test. Do you hear me? It's just a trying time here tonight. If you can say, hey, devil, turn up the heat. I'm still going to press on. I'm still going to lift up my voice and give God the glory. You can come in here and look broke, busted, and disgusted. You can come in here and let your problems grind you to the ground. Or you can say, I might be in the prison right now, but I'm serving a God who can open the prison doors. I'm serving a God who can bring liberty to the captives. I'm serving a God who can shake the place and give me a breakthrough and give me victory in the midst of the prison house. You know what you need to do? You need to lift up some praise from the prison house here tonight. You need to lift your voice unto God and say, I don't know what I'm going through. I don't know when it'll come to pass, but I know you're able to not only touch me, but you'll touch somebody else if I'll stay faithful unto you. They begin to glorify God. All the other prisoners begin to hear that praise. Oh yes. You know what, friend? Can I tell you this? We'll get some of the best blessings we ever got when we're praying for somebody else. We get some of the greatest blessings we ever had when we're laying hands on somebody else and seeking God about their need. Come on now. There's times I just felt like I was dragging bottom. But I came in the house of God. And I see somebody that I felt close to. Somebody that I cared about. I seen them going through a struggle. I seen them enduring a trial. And I just felt like putting my arm around them. And I felt like standing beside them in the prayer line. And saying, God, they need you to move. And you know what happened? In the midst of seeing God move on their behalf, I felt it splash on over on me. And I felt like, come on now. When I came in, just with my lip dragging the ground, feeling poor and pitiful. You know what I felt like doing? When I seen them getting help, I said, you know what, God? I feel better all about my problems. I feel better about what I'm facing. Yes, there's something special, friend, when you get a hold of God for somebody else. And you know what I'd like to say here tonight? You may be in this house. You say, I can make it, preacher. I really don't need God to move. I really don't feel like putting forth the effort tonight. Well, who else are you robbing of a blessing here tonight? Who else are you cheating out of something from God here tonight? You know what, friend? If one or two people in here tonight would say, you know what, preacher? I don't feel like giving God my best, but I know if I'll do something, it'll start a chain reaction across this house. It'll start a domino effect across this house. How many knows we need somebody to break the ice sometimes? We need somebody to step out and say, hey, it ain't just for me. It's for my brothers. It's for my sisters. It's for the whole church. You gotta be willing, friend, in the prison to do it for somebody else. You don't know what that person beside you is going through. You don't know the bad report they've been given today. You don't know the negativity swirling around in their mind when they're sitting right here in the house of God. You don't know, friend, what an effect you'll have on those around you. You gotta be willing to do it for somebody else. Can I tell you something? I am convinced, I'm fully persuaded, every man in that Philippian jail got saved that night. I'm convinced. You don't know why? Because when the chains fell, the shackles, the stocks were there on the ground. The jailer came out, and if one man would have slipped out of there free, he was going to take his own life. But you know what? Paul said, cried out with a loud voice, do thyself no harm. We are all here. It ain't just me and Silas. The rest of these convicts didn't take the tuck tail and run. They didn't run out of here on us. It ain't just me and Silas standing here, but it's everybody else. We're all standing here. God has shook this place. God has opened the prison doors. The chains have fell to our feet. But every one of these men have been touched by the power of God. And you know what we are? All we are is evidence that God can still move in the prison house. All we did was obeyed God, and everybody in this jail got a life-changing experience. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what happened? That old jailer said, what must I do to be saved? You know what else happened? Because Paul did it for somebody else, it trickled on over into the jailer, and it trickled on over from the jailer to his wife and his children. Hallelujah. I said, friend, amazing things can happen when you and I put forth the effort and the energy, get self out of the way, and say, I'm going to do it to touch lives all around me. Whatever I do, it's for somebody else. You know what you do here in this church? It affects all of Granite City. What you do affects the people on the block next door. What we do, friend, has a long-lasting effect on everybody around us, whether we realize it or not. Don't quit running the buses. You're having an effect on somebody else. Come on now. Don't quit singing to the top of your lungs in the choir song. You're having an effect on somebody else. Hallelujah. Hell yes. You know what? This morning I'm going to tell you, I didn't feel like I was getting through, but I've seen tears falling down one lady's cheeks back there. And I said, you know what? I don't feel like preaching much. I don't feel like really busting a blood vessel this morning. But I tell you what I do feel like doing. I feel like seeing them people come off the pew and come down to an altar of prayer and seeing their life change forever. Brother Blue, sometimes you don't feel like getting in the car and driving to Florida, but you're doing it for somebody else. He's sacrificing what his own desires are saying, what his own flesh is wanting, and he's doing it for somebody else.
Are you getting where I'm coming from? Are you getting where I'm coming from? When we deny ourselves, friend, when we say no to this flesh, and we say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, we're having an effect on somebody else's life that only eternity will tell. Come on now, we're striking a chord that will ring all throughout eternity when we deny ourselves and do it for somebody else. Hallelujah. I feel this here tonight. You know what I feel? I feel like when them four men had a buddy struck down with leprosy or a bad physical ailment, the Bible said Jesus was healing people in that house that day. And people were sprawled out all across the streets. They could not get their friend in that door. They could not get into where Jesus was. But the Bible said they crawled on top of the roof and they pulled the roof back and they lowered him on that cot down there to where Jesus was. Hallelujah. What if they just gave up when they seen how long the line was? What if they just backed up and said, the Lord's busy right now? When they seen the people crowding out of that house, they said, no, we got a friend that needs help. He's at dire straits. He's at his wit's end. We're going to pull the roof back and we're going to lower him down to where Jesus is. You know what Jesus did? He honored their obedience. He honored their faithfulness. He honored their willingness to step out on a limb and see what God would do. I wonder in this house tonight, friend, are you thinking of somebody that's in trouble? Are you thinking of somebody that's going through a struggle right now? Won't you reach up and do something for them tonight? Won't you get a hold of God on their behalf? Won't you pray for that lost family member? Won't you pray for that person sick that's on their way to the grave? Won't you pray for somebody that's staring an impossibility right in the eye? I'll tell you, friend, we'd be amazed if we pressed through for somebody else here tonight. God can do it. God's able. Oh yes, I wish I could preach to you here tonight. There's got to be the desire to not only help yourself. Listen, this ain't me and my four no more. This ain't you and me and our three. We're not just out for our own well-being, friend. You know what makes me so sick sometimes in churches? I hear so-and-so say, pray for my lost son. But you know what? When the person across the church, and I'm not saying here, please don't get me wrong, but when the other person says, pray for my husband, that they'll get back in the house of God. You know what? You really don't see the burden in that individual that they had for their own family. Come on now, friend. You know what? If we're not guilty, we see our own needs and we survey our own concerns. We survey what we want God to do in our lives. We forget about everybody around us. Can I tell you, no matter how severe your circumstances are, somebody out there has got it a whole lot worse. Somebody out there is facing a whole lot greater adversity than we're facing personally. You know what Paul realized? There's greater needs here than our needs. There's greater needs, Silas, than what you and I are facing. You know what Peter and John realized when they was going to the temple to pray there right after the day of Pentecost? And there laid a lame man being there asking for alms. Peter looked at him. He could have passed him by. He could have said, I'm busy. I'm on my way to the temple. You know what? We can get so busy for God, if we're not careful, we'll overlook needs all along the way. Peter could have overlooked that need. Peter could have said, I'm on my way to the temple. I'm going to get help for myself. But he looked down. He fastened his eyes upon him. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that man left there changed forever because Peter and John stopped and did it for somebody else. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. They did it for somebody else. Oh yes, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I know I've got things I want God to move on. I know my wife has got things we need God to move on. But I'll tell you what, the top priority is this church right here tonight. The top priority, we need to see God move for somebody else in this place here tonight. Listen, somebody needs a soul-shaking, devil-chasing move of the Holy Ghost that'll give them victory in their lives and help them to live for God. Oh, I wish I could preach better to you tonight. Doing it for somebody else. Listen, friend, a missionary by the name of James Chalmers
was over there in a foreign land of Africa fulfilling the call of God. By himself, he went to a cannibal tribe. When he got to that cannibal tribe, he thought he would have some persuasion. He thought something he'd say or do would shed light on these people's lives, would lead them to the Lord. Do you know what? In the midst of his efforts, in the midst of him putting his life on the line to a cannibal tribe, circumstances turned to disaster. And they took him and imprisoned him, tied him up for a number of days, and they devised a plan to take him down to the burning stake, burn his body, and eat the remains. The cannibal tribe had a plot to take this man's life, and they were going to eat his flesh. True story right here. The story goes like this. On the night of the ceremony, the seance, if you will, they're chanting, they're crying out, they're hollering all around the burning fire, the burning stake. And they come, two big muscular men came and took James Chalmers and led him out of that hut they had him imprisoned in. And they led him all the way down there, and the crowd was chanting all the more, all the louder they were chanting. And all James Chalmers could say, "Lord, I only came here to help these people. I only came here to try to see them get what I have found in my life. I only came here to see you touch their lives like you've touched my life, to share the gospel message. But here they are going to take his life." But you know what happened? When they got him down there and they began to untie him and they began to put him on that stake, friend, all of a sudden, to everyone's surprise, the chief of that tribe's son, about a 6'10" giant, stepped out of the crowd and he stepped in front of James Chalmers and he put his back to James Chalmers. And he said, "This missionary's God was busy tonight, so he sent me on his behalf." Oh yes! You don't know what happened? The chief looked at his son in amazement. And when they thought the chief would have took his own son's life, he looked at his son and he said, "Due to your bravery and your courage, I turn my leadership of this tribe over to you." And the rest is history. James Chalmers didn't burn at the stake that night, and he wasn't ate by the cannibal tribe. But because he laid it on the line for somebody else, that man stepped out and said, "His God is busy. I showed up to intervene for him." You know what happened? James Chalmers preached the gospel to the whole cannibal tribe, and everyone got saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what, friend? James Chalmers said, "If I die, I'll die doing it for somebody else. If I go to the stake burning, I'll die doing it for somebody else." We don't realize, friend, what we do is going to touch somebody. It's going to reach somebody. It might cost you and I in the process, but thank God we'll say, "Hey, somebody reaped from it. Somebody benefited from it. Somebody is enjoying the blessings of God because we put forth the effort for somebody else, brother." Oh yes. Hallelujah. Thank God we sung the song a while ago, "When I pray, God answers." You remember when James had died by the sword? Herod had had James martyred. Peter was next. Peter's in prison down there. 4 quaternions of soldiers was keeping watch over Peter by night. Listen, that's 16 soldiers keeping watch on Peter. The Bible said Peter's imprisoned, but the church prayed without ceasing. Hallelujah! I know it's a little different here tonight. I know we've slowed her down a few gears tonight. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The church knew what to do when the going got tough. They said, "We're going to pray a little harder." Oh, yes. Listen, friend. The church could have said, "James is dead. Peter's next. Ain't nothing we can do about it." But the Bible said the church prayed without ceasing. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad somebody prayed? Ain't you glad somebody got a prayer through? Ain't you glad somebody went against the odds and touched the throne of heaven? Oh, yes. Listen, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man of They left much. I done said, Jesus said, men are always to pray and not to faint, friend. How many still knows tonight that prayer still moves the hand that moves the world here tonight? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Oh, let the prayer bells ring. No matter what, you got to keep on praying tonight. You know what happened? The Bible said an angel descended and showed up in that prison where Peter was. Said, shod your feet with sandals. Somebody got a prayer through. Somebody got a hold of God. Somebody touched him right in the nick of time. You know what happened? Peter got up. All the soldiers, a deep sleep came upon them. And that angel led him out. Oh yes, through the first, through the second ward. And they came to an iron gate, which led to the city. Oh yes, and it lifted to no avail. Come on now. That gate lifted up, friend. All because the church prayed without ceasing. You know what they said? That's one of ours down there. That's one of ours. He don't belong to you, devil. He belongs to the church of the living God. That's one of God's men. That's one of the chosen disciples. He ain't gonna die to the sword. He's going to live. He's going to preach. He's going to do exploits in the name of the Lord God Almighty. They prayed for you for somebody else. Peter made his way down to that house, and a little lady by the name of Rhoda came out there and looked out the window to the knocking. She said, it's Peter. The answer to our prayer has showed up right at the door. Oh yes. Can I tell you something, friend? The amazing things, the amazing results that happens when you and I buckle down. We get our eyes off ourselves. We get our eyes off our own wants and desires. And we say, somebody needs it. Somebody needs a prayer. Somebody needs some comfort in a time of trouble. Somebody needs somebody to lend a helping hand out to them and let them know everything's going to be all right. Somebody needs to be told, you don't have to bear your burdens alone. Take my hand and we'll go find help at the throne of God. Oh yes! Oh yes. Doing it for somebody else. I know this is different. I know this is a weird message in a way. But I'm glad, friend, Paul and Silas got a hold of it for somebody else. I'm glad Peter and John got a hold of it for somebody else. And you know what I'm glad? Listen now, you and I, friend, this altar's still open right here in a few minutes. We're going to open this altar and we're going to let you come in here and give all you've got to God. But you know what, friend? There may be somebody sitting back on their pew tonight, and if they see a response out of somebody that they know is going to get something from God, you know what it might do? It might trigger something in them to say, why can't I get a hold of it like they're getting a hold of it? Oh yes! When they see your desperation, they might say, hey, if they can do it, so can I. Hallelujah! Ain't that how it works? Can we stand here tonight? Wish I could have preached something different to you. It's the way the Lord dealt with me here tonight. Doing it for somebody else. You know what, friend? I'm going to tell you something. Out here as a preacher, you doing something for God, we're doing something for God, trying our best to make it to the same heaven. But sometimes, if you're not careful, the enemy will creep in and say, what's the use? What's the use? What are you seeing accomplished? What are you seeing done by your efforts? Do you know what you got to say? If just one more soul will walk down the aisle, it's worth every bit of it. You know what you got to say? If one more wave of revival, Bethel Chapel, you know what you got to say? If one more wave of revival would come in our midst and save souls outside of this city here in Granite City and would touch lives, help somebody that's sick and afflicted, it's worth everything we go through day in and day out. Come on now. It's worth every trouble, every trial, every affliction we have to endure. You know the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivereth them out of them all. Ain't you glad for that here tonight? It's 8:30. We still got a lot of time to pray in here tonight. We're closing this revival out. But you know what? You can get God to move and intervene in your situation right here tonight. And not only that, friend, somebody else can get help by you making an effort here tonight. Would you come to this altar here tonight? Would you say, Lord, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray harder for that individual that's been on my mind. Lord, I'm going to seek you more, even more fervent for that one that's been struggling. Listen, I know somebody that ain't been faithful to the house of God in a while. I'm going to send up an extra prayer for them tonight and say that God rejuvenate them and put the faithfulness back for the house of God in their life. Oh, yes. You will pray for somebody else tonight. You will step out for somebody else tonight. You will lend a helping hand and say, let's go to this altar. There's help for us tonight. Oh, yes. Paul and Silas said it ain't for us. It's for those that are bound, those in bondage, those in captivity. Oh, yes. For somebody else tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Can we pray? Can we seek the face of God here tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Seek the Lord tonight. Pray. God, let me be a blessing to those around me. God, let me have an effect on all those around me. Yes. God, when I can't touch Him, when I can't touch the Lord, let somebody be intervening for me. Oh, when I feel like you're 1,000 miles away, somebody's going to touch you. Oh, yes. Come on. Reach out to those around you. Reach out to those you know that's going through it. Come on. Bombard heaven. Yeah, be a burden bearer tonight. Help somebody bear the load tonight. For somebody else.